Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Kelly Miller.
I'm going to do something I do on a regular basis, which is can't preach without an open word, right? This is one of my rules, is you always have to have the word open, right? Whether I'm in a counseling room or in a pulpit, wherever you go, the word has to be open, because what does that do? That's just communicating where our foundation lies, right? So we're going to start from there. So as many of you know, Jay is out of town today. He's out of state. He's in New York. He'll actually be flying back tonight. So he's been doing a human trafficking conference in Olean, New York this week. So dad's gone, so you get to hear from mom today. Mama is preaching today. So today, I'm bringing you guys a message called Returning to Joy. Returning to Joy, right? This is a seasonal word, partially because, you know, a lot of times we say things around Christmas, joy to the world, you know, joy for the Lord has come. You know, there's all these seasonal words about joy right now. And I think it's really important as a house for us to know how to have joy, how to stay in joy, and how to get back to joy. Because there's a lot of things in life that try to take us out of a place of joy. And we want to equip you guys with tools for how to get into a place of joy and stay in a place of joy. Because the nature of the world is it tries to take us out of our joy. It tries to steal our joy. And that's something that God paid for with his blood. He paid for our joy. He wants us to be happy. Can you say that with me? God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy, right? He doesn't want me to just have a mood of happy. He wants us to stay in a place of happiness and joy. And that is something that he says is part of his fruit of the Spirit, but he wants to show us not just how to have joy. He wants us to have overwhelming joy, right? I want you to get a picture of that in your mind. What would overwhelming joy for me look like? And when I think of overwhelming joy, I think of where's Quay when she goes, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, ha-ha-ha. Right? Overwhelming joy, right? And I have pictures of some of you guys in my mind when I think of overwhelming joy. When you're running laps around here, right? When Rob is screaming out, Jesus, right? And in my mind, I look at you guys and I go, oh, that's what it looks like, right? And this is one of the values of being in a family and in a community, is that we get to say from other people, we get to see and borrow other people's experiences and say, ah, God, if you did it for them, you can do it for me, right? And so God wants to show us, he wants to teach us how to have overwhelming joy. The thing about joy is it is not based on our strength, it's based on God's, right? It's not based on me mustering it up or making a mood or like, making it happen. This is based on God being God, and I just align with him being him, and that's how I get joy, right? It's his strength. Nehemiah 8:10, it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? So when I'm thinking about, okay, what does joy do for me? Joy actually strengthens me. It helps me to be able to do the things God calls me to do. So I don't have to be worried or afraid. Why? Because my God has given me strength. And I can go and conquer a mountain. By him, I can conquer a hill. I can conquer a city. Doesn't it say in Psalms? Right? We can do all those things because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm going to read you a verse out of Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. Oh, by the way, time out. I know Jay normally says, turn to three passages of scripture. That's a Jay thing. I'm just going to read the scriptures. You guys can either write them down and take notes, or you can flip with me, but you got to be doing your sword drills today. Okay, so you have your word with you? All right. Anybody? Okay, Old Testament, we're going to Habakkuk, all right? And we're going to chapter 3, verse 17. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Amen. Amen. What that is saying in that verse is even when the circumstances of your life are not awesome, when they are less than perfect, that does not have the power to stop us from praising God, right? That does not have the power to stop God from giving us strength. And how we get strength in the Lord, one of the ways here is through joy. And so I want to encourage you guys, as we're talking about joy today, to look, okay, God, how do you want to give me joy today? Kind of keep that in the background of your mind. God, what do you want me to do? What does this look like for me to receive your joy today and to walk in your joy? Because I think God has something here for us today. Okay? So there is peace. There is joy in his presence. Psalm 16:11, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I think we all kind of want that, right? That's a good thing to go for. But we don't have to wait till heaven to get these blessings God has for us. He has some things for us here today on the earth, and we don't want to leave the blessings God has for us on the ground, right? Get everything God has for you. And that means that we can get access to something as we're walking through life, right? We're looking for, God, what's my next step to take? A lot of us are looking for vision for the next year or goals. Some of us do the, you know, New Year's resolutions and things like that. Now, as you're looking ahead, it's also important for us to consider our path, right? If God is giving us our path, if he's directing our path, then we're not going to misstep, right? It says, he will show you the paths of life, and in his presence is the fullness of joy. So if I'm going somewhere, I want to go with the Lord. Otherwise, I'm not going, right? I mean, seriously, it has to be with him or nothing, right? Solo Christo, right? So only in Jesus is the fullness of joy. So I can do a thing and not be happy and just do it because it's the right thing to do. Have you ever done that? Just out of duty and diligence and things like that. But if I want to do it, I actually want to do it now and be happy, right? Life's too short to do things and do it just because you have to, right? We want to do things with the Lord because he wants us to be happy as we're doing it. So there's a way of doing things with the Lord where I can access something of him that if I did it on my own strength, I wouldn't have necessarily. I can have fullness of joy when I do it lock and step, arm in arm with him, right? So he has that joy for us. There's a couple of words for joy that is used in the Bible, a couple of them, galat, which is rejoicing. There's reinin, which is joyous singing. But the one I want to focus on today is a word called simcha, S-I-M-C-H-A. S-I-M-C-H-A. It's to be happy. It's the one that's used when they're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Did I get all nine? Okay. Close enough. Yeah, I got 7.5? Okay. Well, joy was one of them, right? And the word it uses for joy there is simcha, which is to be happy. And it basically means, in its conjugated forms, it means basically to have a party. So when they're talking about bat mitzvahs, weddings, celebrations, they're using the conjugated form of this joy, bat simcha, right? They're using the word in context. It means, hey, we're having a party, right? So when God's saying, hey, have joy, he's saying, hey, we're going to have a party, just you and me, right? A party for one, bar mitzvah for one, right? So you get to have a party with the Lord, and that's what he plans for you every day, right? So I want you to think about that. God, in this moment, am I living in the party, right, with you? And if I'm not, then, okay, I'm missing something that you have for me right here. I don't want to miss what you have for me right here. The other thing about that word simcha is the same letters. I don't know if you guys know this, but in Hebrew, they don't have vowels, right? It just has the consonants, and then knowing it in context, you know what the word means. So those same letters that are used for joy is also the same letters that are used for the word eraser in Hebrew, right? And basically, shamuka? I'm going to go with that. That like the whale. We'll go with that. Anyway, that same letters, it basically means to erase something or to forget something. Right? So I'm forgetting what was behind, pressing on towards the goal, right? What am I putting my mind on? What's pure and holy and lovely and worthy of praise? We're thinking on all the Philippians 4:8 things, right? That's how in context, in the Hebrew culture, they think about joy. It's not something like, oh, I'm feeling a mood. It's more of a mindset, right? So when we're talking about joy in the Bible, something that God wants to give us access to, there's something there that when we set our minds on the things of Christ, joy comes with us, right? A lot of you guys know my favorite verse in the Bible is Isaiah 26:3. He who keeps his mind steadfast on the Lord will be in perfect peace, right? And all of us want perfect peace, not just peace, perfect peace. But the way to get perfect peace is to keep our mindset on the Lord, right? And so there's something we have here where when our mind is on the Lord, we don't just get peace, we also get joy, right? And so all the fruits of the Spirit, all the things, it's not like, well, today I'm just going to get this one thing. I'm just going after love today. Well, you're going to get that, and you're going to get a whole bunch of other stuff too, right? Because God being God, he's not just going to bless you with one good gift. You ask him for one good gift, he's going to give you a whole bunch of good gifts, right? Because that's how God is. Our God's awesome like that. So we want to talk about today really how to return to a place of joy, right? Because life being life, sometimes it sometimes tries to give us big things to take us out of joy, and sometimes, most of the time, it's not even a big thing, is it? Right? It's just those little inconveniences of life that try to take us out of a place of joy. There's a guy named Dr. Jim Wilder, some of you guys might be familiar with, who developed this tool called the Life Model, and he is a well-known Christian counselor and pastor and everything, and he developed these maturity indicators for how do you know I'm growing spiritually? Like, how do I know, like, you know, my church is growing? How do I know I'm growing as a person? How do I know that I'm actually getting stronger in the Lord? And one of the maturity indicators that they've developed is to know if you can go from a place of a negative emotion and return to joy, right? That's one of the ways you can know that you're quickly following the Lord. How quickly can I get myself back to a place of joy, or do I get stuck in whatever that other emotion is, right? And so what we want to do as we're growing in the Lord is we want to know that we're living in and expanding our capacity for joy, right? And they develop these different measures that you do at different ages of your life. By age 1 to 3, here's the measure for maturity. If you got what you needed when you were age 1 to 3, are you living in and expanding your joy? Are you learning that joy is one's normal state and building joy strength? That's from age 1 to 3, right? If some of us miss something there, then we want to go back there and get what God has for us. We can reparent ourselves. We can give ourselves something. We can say, God, you're my father. You're the perfect father. Give me what I need here. There's another test he says for if you are a mature adult, from 13 to adulthood, he says, if you can remain stable in difficult situations and know how to return self and others to joy. Not just get myself back to joy, but I'm going to take my friend back to joy with me. My friend's sad. I'm going to take my friend back to joy with me, right? Those are tests of spiritual maturity. How am I taking what God has given me access to, applying that to myself, and taking it to others and bring it to them as well, right? So they identify 6 negative emotions that we want to return to joy from. So sadness, anger, fear, shame, disgust, and hopeless despair, all not fun emotions. But you know what? Those are all things that try to lead us out of what God has for us, right? Those are all necessary emotions at time because they expose things within us. They reveal some beliefs that we have maybe sometimes that aren't what God has for us. So I would say those are necessary at times because we can use those. Right? And I don't want you to be afraid of your emotions, right? Because a mature church, a mature bride knows how to redeem those, right? And that's what I want to call you guys to, is the ability to redeem your emotions, right? The ability to say, God, you've given me something here, and I want everything you have for me, right? So I'm going to give you guys a little story of this because this is a real life story. David can validate this. When we were at the King and Country concert earlier this week, David and I went. We were in the nosebleed seats. We didn't have as great as seats as y'all had, Chris and Cindy. And I think a few others went as well. But we just kind of last minute, Mom and David, not a date, Mom. And we went, and as we were leaving, it was a great concert. We had a great time. As we were leaving, all of a sudden, we're driving home, and we went past this one area, and all of a sudden, I was just kind of feeling really sad all of a sudden. You ever feel like that? You kind of go in a certain area or something, and all of a sudden, you just pick up on something in the environment. And you're like, I wasn't feeling that way a minute earlier. What's that about, right? That could be, you could be a feeler. Pre-Christians call it being an empath, right? We know that it's just a way of perceiving. God's making us aware of something, whether it's knowing something, whether it's feeling something, whether it's seeing something in the spirit. God gives us lots of ways to be aware of things going on around us, right? But it's to be redeemed. David and I were driving home, and all of a sudden that sadness came over me. And I'm like, man, where did that come from? That's not mine. So what we did is he turns to me, he goes, Mom, are you okay? All of a sudden, your face just kind of, all of a sudden. And I'm like, yeah, I'm picking up on something. I was like, you know what? Let's practice joy right now. And so right there in the car, we started singing, we started laughing, we started telling jokes. And within a few minutes, we were back to a place of joy, back to where we were when we left the concert, right? And so that's exactly what it's like when something like that comes on you and you're like, this isn't mine. I don't have to take this. Brush it off. Permission to not have to carry that with you, right? Permission to say, I know what my Father gives me, and he gives me joy, right? And I have not just joy, but joy forevermore in his presence, right? That's what it said. And so that's what I'm going after. So anytime something tries to come on you, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Right, guys? It can be just little things sometimes. Sometimes we go through big things, and there are big things in life that we have to work through a season of something. But most of the times, isn't it the little things, right, that try to take us off and steal our joy? And we can have a bad 10 minutes, and it tries to take our whole day, right? No, it doesn't get that from me. I'm going to get back to that joy that God has for me. So how do we return to joy? There's a couple of ways I want to give you guys tools to do. Right? One of the ways to return to joy is with love. God gives us love as a tool. In John chapter 15, if you have your Bibles open with you, go to John 15. And this is Jesus speaking in this passage. So red letters, right? John 15, and we're going to start in verse 9 and go down to verse 12. And in this passage it says, I have loved you, even as I have, as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. God's giving us access to something here with this dance of joy and love, right? When I access joy, when I access love, I can access joy. When I access joy, I access love. So if I say, I love you, of course you're going to be happy, right? If I tell you, I have joy when I'm around you, of course you're going to feel loved, right? They work in tandem. And so if I can access one, then I can access the other. Right? So joy and love is this dance that we get to play with, okay? So Jesus gives it to us in this passage. I'm going to say it again. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Okay, I'm going to try it. This is my Gen Z paraphrase. They're cringing on the front row. They're cringing. But, okay, so Gen Z paraphrase is Jesus saying this, I am throwing love at you, bro. Even as my dad, the goat, is giving love to me. When you understand the assignment, you will slay this love thing. Here's the tea. Thanks. Keep it coming. Yeah. Here's the tea. When you understand the assignment and mad love your bros, you will slay this joy. Yes, your vibe check will stand. Yeah, here's the deal. Base love your peeps, because no cap. I got mad love for you. And you will be a W. Yeah. Cringy? Okay. All right. Yeah. Mom's trying to keep up with the teenagers, so, you know. Okay. So, you know, if Jesus were speaking nowadays, I think that's kind of what he'd say. Something like that. Anyway. My people. You're my people. Yeah. Now you have the vocabulary. What is it? Vernacular, whatever. Vocab. I don't know the word. So return to joy with love. Return to joy. The other way is with shouts and worship and praise. Yeah. It says in Psalms 27:6, then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with joy, singing praise to the Lord with music. We did that, didn't we? Yeah. We get to do that. Thank you, God. Yeah, let's do a shout of joy. Yeah. That's good. That's pretty good. I think they heard you outside. Let's try it again so they hear us, like, across the street. We hear you. Shout of joy. Yeah. All right. That's right. Well, that's it. The shout of joy. Sometimes when you don't feel like shouting, that's when you need a shout, right? Right? Sometimes a shout is a shout. Sometimes it's a shout, right? So whatever kind of shout it is, whether it's a sacrificial shout or whether it's a I am taking this thing down shout, right? That is a tool. That is a weapon in your arsenal, is to shout. Psalms 126, 5 and 6, it says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Those who weep as they go to plant their seeds, but they will sing as they return with the harvest. So there's something there about this exchange of I'm going to give something up, but I'm going to get something back. And I know what's coming. And I know that if I make this sacrifice to the Lord, I know he has good things coming for me. Right? So using shouts and praise and worship, those are all tools to return to joy, right? Another one is with prayer and with testimony. And we want to use prayer as a way to return into God's presence, right? So sometimes we say pray until you feel it, right? That's one of the strategies, right? Is I'm going to pray until I sense your presence. I'm just going to talk to you. And I don't have to be religious about it. I don't have to get on my hands and knees and pray and fold my hands and close my eyes. I can just talk to him as I'm going about my day, right? Whatever I'm doing it with the Lord. Conversational, ongoing, open-ended prayer. It doesn't have to have an amen on it, right? It has to be an ongoing, throughout the day prayer. That's the kind of prayer we're talking about. So it says here in Psalms 51:12, it says, return to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Amen. So sometimes we forget all the things he's done for us, right? And so when we remember all his goodness, I'm just going to start telling God, I remember when you did this. I remember when I got this breakthrough. I don't even have to use my own breakthrough. I remember when you did this for Christy, right? I remember when you did this for Vin. And I can start naming names and telling people's stories and reminding God of his goodness, right? And that is one way to return to your joy. So I don't even have to say that's my testimony. I can borrow somebody else's. And this is another value of community, right? Because when I have Jill's breakthrough, that's my breakthrough, right? When I have Macy's breakthrough, that's my breakthrough, right? And so borrow somebody's testimony and get some of your own. When you get your own, this is why we give God glory in sharing our testimonies, because it's not just the breakthrough for us. It's the breakthrough for everybody around us and maybe somebody that they know, so they can go, oh, I heard a story about somebody God did that for. Let me tell you how God's going to do this breakthrough for you, right? And so that's the strength that sustains us. When we're going through a hard time, we want to remember those testimonies, right? If you don't have any testimonies, go find somebody around here. Just go say, hey, tell me what's good. What's God been doing this week, right? And most people, this is one of the things that is really healthy about our church, guys, seriously. Most people in here have a testimony this week of something God did, amen. Right? That's how God works, right? Because you guys are being so faithful to live in the Lord. So please know that this is not a correction word. This is a, we are going deeper. We're raising the water level here. And because of that, I trust you guys. I believe so much in you guys that I'm not going to leave you guys as infants with infant level faith and just say, well, trust God for your joy. There's something you can do to actually raise your joy level. And I want to empower you guys with the ability to do that. Right? So you're not dependent on having to come to a worship service to worship the Lord. I can worship God anytime, anywhere, right? That's how we want it to be, right? So that's how we return to the joy of our salvation. In the New Testament, when Jesus sent out those disciples, the 72, y'all remember that in the New Testament, when Jesus sent out the 72 disciples and they came back, and over again, in each of the Gospels, it says they returned with joy. They returned with joy at all the things. They marveled at all the things that God did as he spoke their name, as they spoke his name. And all these miracles, all these wonders were done. Why? Because God did it. And they just partnered with God, and then they got the joy. So they were sent out kind of a little afraid, going, okay, hope this thing happens. But what do we know, right? Anything that we do for the Lord, it's not on our strength. It's by God's, right? And so it's not on us to make it happen. It's him being him, and I'm just with the guy who does the thing, right? So I don't have to do it. I don't have to manufacture it. I just have to be with the one who does the thing. Does that make sense? So Jay's not here. I don't want y'all to think I'm talking about Jay. I'm with Jesus. I'm locked arm in arm with Jesus, and he's the one that does the thing, so... another way to return to joy that I want to give you guys is returning to the joy of the gospel. The gospel is the story that never gets old, does it? Right? It's the sweetest story ever told. And I want to give you guys a couple of versions of the gospel that the Bible says, right? Because this is something that you can access anytime. Wherever you have your Bible, wherever you have your phone and access to a Bible, you can get access to the Word of God. Right? And I want you to have ways to remind yourself, to bring yourself back to joy of the gospel. Let's read it together, and I want to hear how sweet it is. I'm going to start in Acts 2. And this is where Luke was writing about Paul sharing the gospel in Acts. Acts 2. And I'm going to start in verse 22 and go down to verse 36. And this is in the New Living Translation. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and in his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of the lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad. My tongue shall shout his praises, and my body rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure of the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried in this tomb and is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father as he has promised, gave us the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God had made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Amen. That never gets old, does it? That's just so sweet. Okay, all right, I'm going to read another one because it's just fun. Okay, so go to John. And some of you guys know this by memory. John 3, 16, going to 18. For God so loved the world. I'm going to cry. That's just so sweet. Y'all ever cry tears of joy? Am I the only one? Okay. No, just me? Okay. Okay. Well, I cry at every wedding. I'm one of those that does that. That's why, you know, a couple weeks ago when Laura and them, they got married, I'm like, I have to sit in the back because I'm going to be crying. I'm a mess. So I cry at every wedding. And sometimes reading the Word of God, doesn't it just move you to tears? Okay, read it with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Thank you, God. Jesus himself gave us the gospel. In John 8:12, he said, Jesus, red letters, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's just too good, isn't it? He's too good. Paul wrote it again in Timothy, in his gospel to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:16. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached among the nation, and was believed in the world, and was taken up to glory. The angels proclaimed the gospel in Luke 2. And this is our Christmas story, right? We often read Luke and Luke 2, especially as the Christmas story this time of year. But even the angels, they know the gospel. And what separates the angels from the demons, right? It says it in James, right? The demons know God is God. They just tremble. They shake and they say, ooh, yeah, he's God. I just don't follow him, right? But the angels say, oh, yeah, he's Lord, and I'm doing it his way. I'm following him. And that's what sets us apart as Christians, is we say, yes, he's God, but we're following him. We're doing this his way, right? So the angels are going to proclaim the gospel to us out of Luke 2. Luke 2, verses 10 through 14. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. Amen. Do y'all feel that shift? Yeah, they're shouting for joy. Yeah. What's funny is, you know, this sermon on joy, I asked God, and he said, no, don't tell jokes. It's not about joking. I mean, there's a time for joking. It has an appropriate place in sermons, but it's no joke. God wants you to be happy, right? But it's not there's something more than just a quick laugh, right? There's a sustaining joyful presence that comes with God. And I want each of us to be able to experience that, right? That's something we can carry with us. That's the flame that God has given us to tend and to steward. And what we set our mind on, what we set our actions on, how we return to this place of joy, that's something we can all steward together. And I want to encourage you guys to steward that flame. When the things of life try to move you off of the place of joy, to come back to that place. Whatever, these are some of the ways that God gives us to return to joy. But God's going to give you ways that are going to work for you. Where is Juvia? She's going to be in the next service. She's volunteering this time. But she is a joy monster. She will just laugh hysterically. And you cannot be around that girl without catching laughter. And joy will just overcome you. Your little joy, Alyssa Joy, is the same way, right? Some people just have a supernatural gift for imparting joy, right? But we all have joy because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we want to tap into that. So we want to practice that today. So for those of you who have not had the joy of salvation, I obviously want to start there because we can't talk about accessing joy if that's something that you haven't partnered with the Lord on, right? So if anyone here has not surrendered themselves to the Lord and said, I am going to choose to follow you with my whole heart and with all that is within me, then I want to call you to a place of salvation to say today, God, you are the Lord. I've heard the gospel. The gospel was preached today, wasn't it? And now we have the choice to walk with that and say, that's for me. That's what God made for me. God made me to walk with him, and I am going to walk in every blessing he has for me. So Stephen said it earlier, by the declaration of your mouth, that you declare, I am God's. I belong to Jesus. So I want to encourage you, if that is something where you are ready to make that shift, come see one of our prayer altar ministers after church, and we want to pray with you. We want to get a Bible in your hands, and we want to do that with you. But before we leave today, I want to make sure that everybody here has an opportunity to experience joy. So I want you guys to get in a place where you're ready to receive, if it's just whatever that looks like for you, if that's a head bowed, eyes closed, if that's with your hands open, just whatever that looks like for you, just getting ready to receive an impartation of joy. And with that, some of you might laugh. Some of you might cry. Some of you might feel nothing at all. Some of you will feel a deep peace. Some of you will feel loved. Some of you will want to shout. Some of you will have an idea drop in your head of who you need to call, of who you need to reach out to. So, Father, right now, I thank you that you are in this room. And by this Holy Spirit that you have given us, I thank you that you are alive and active here in each one of us. Holy Spirit, come and release your joy to every single man, woman, boy, and girl in this room. And I pray that we receive a tangible, palatable expression of your joy. I thank you, Lord, that we are sustained in your strength. Your joy is our strength. As we remember your salvation, as we remember your testimonies, we thank you, Lord. And with grateful hearts, we receive you as you are. Thank you, God. Some of you will need to stay here and just keep receiving, keep drinking. Keep getting everything God has for you. And I want to give you guys time to just stay here with the Lord and keep drinking. But I bless you guys to live in joy, not just over Christmas season, but to walk into joy, to return to joy. God has given you access to his joy, and I bless you with joy this holiday season, with joy as a fruit of the Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for this time you've given us together. We thank you that you are giving us your joy in fresh measure. I thank you, God, that your word goes forth and accomplishes what it was meant to do in each of our hearts. Return to us the joy of your salvation. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.